I'm here. 18. 18. Welcome back to our study of the Gospel of Matthew. We are picking up in chapter 4, and specifically we're going to begin by looking at verse 18. So if you have your Bibles, open up with me to Matthew chapter 4, and let's take a look at verse 18. As Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the sea, since they were fishermen. "Follow me," he told them, "and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John. They were in a boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Follow me. Short little sentence, but very powerful. Follow me. You know, last time we were together, we talked about sheep and goats. And you remember we learned about different shepherds. And Pete explained to us that he saw some shepherds. One played the flute, another whistled, another sang. But that, whatever they did that was unique to them, they might as well have been saying, follow me. And that's exactly what the sheep did and do with their shepherd. Immediately. Isn't that a beautiful illustration when you think about that? Follow me. You know, we have so many demands in our natural life. Do this, do this, do this. Do this by this time. Make sure you're here. But how many of us would be willing to immediately follow Jesus? We say it. We'll tell anybody with our mouth, won't we? Do our actions, does our lifestyle mirror what we're saying? Follow me. And I think we're living in a time right now where if we're going to be following anybody, we need to be mindful of just who it is that we're following. Follow me. You want to say anything else about that before I keep reading?
I mean, we could say, I suppose we could say a whole lot concerning that. Number one, you need to read all the Gospels together because when you look at Matthew's account, it sounds like everything just happened this way, this way, this way, but Matthew just summarizing it. And if you'll read Mark and Luke with it, you'll get a little more detail that it's there's some sequence involved there that you don't see here. And two, you'll find that I have to be careful, cautious how I say this. The following was somewhat progressive. In other words, they made an immediate decision, but they were back and forth for a little while. But after the day of Pentecost, they went back and forth. Understand? All out commitment then. But it started in a somewhat progressive way. They weren't always with Jesus. Sometimes they were looking for Jesus. You see where I'm coming from? But after they're filled with the Holy Spirit, nothing else matters. That has their attention. That's where the Lord wants to take us. To where that's the most important thing in our lives.
Jesus was going all over Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Then the news about him spread throughout Syria, so they brought to him all those who were afflicted, those suffering from various diseases and intense pains, the demon-possessed, the epileptics, and the paralytics, and he healed them. Large crowds followed him from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Now, we spent some time when we took a look at the ministry of Jesus, if you'll remember. We talked about the importance of preaching and teaching and healing. And we know where his heart was. He had the heart of the Father, right? We've talked about that before. He had compassion on the people. We're to have that same heart, aren't we? Now,
Think about this. Jesus is not preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus.
Mm-mm.
He's preaching and teaching about the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it that the people are hearing? That they're bringing the sick, and those who are sick that's coming. They're hearing something about this kingdom where God rules is different than kingdoms where men rule. It's different than a religious order that they're familiar with, the Judaism of the day, so to speak. And so he is evidently telling them about the power of the kingdom of God. Yeah, God can rule over sickness. God can rule over disease. God can rule over whatever problem you're having in your life. This is where we're lacking today. Now, please understand me. The gospel of Jesus is critical. It must go forth. But the gospel of Jesus is to get converts. Okay? Then they have to be discipled to follow the kingdom of God, to submit to the dominion of God. And the average just status quo church member is more submitted to the kingdoms of the world than God. Very few of them are actually submitted to the kingdom of God. The world rules them. The world rules most church people. It dominates their daily life. That's what consumes their thinking during the day. Just taking care of business. And I can tell you right now, you get your mind caught up in taking care of business, you find you don't have a lot of time for God. Mm-hmm. So who's ruling? God's not ruling. You understand? There's more to this than just, we're not talking about gross sin. We're talking about what's ruling your life. What controls you? Does the Word of God control you? Or do you live your life by what men say, what people say? The people control your life. Does God control your life, or does the church control your life? Are you more caught up in denomination than you are with what God says? And I'm going to tell you right now, most people today will follow the denomination and reject the Word. I was that way for a period of time, for years. That if it didn't match what I was taught through denomination, I rejected it. But thank God for mercy. That He'll keep dealing with you. Until where you learn, that's kingdoms of men. That's opinions of men. But where God rules, totally different, because His rule is an accurate rule, and He rules in truth and integrity, no ulterior motives. He has your best interest at heart at all times. Pretty incredible. I don't know that you can say that about most people. You understand? So, we need to preach the gospel of Jesus and teach it. But we also need to preach and teach the gospel Jesus preached and taught. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Both are critical.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, looking at chapter 5, this is where we begin the Sermon on the Mount. When he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to teach them, saying, "The poor in spirit are blessed, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Those who mourn are blessed, for they will be comforted. The gentle are blessed, for they will inherit the earth. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are blessed, for they will be filled. The merciful are blessed, for they will be shown mercy. The pure in heart are blessed, for they will see God. The peacemakers are blessed, for they will be called sons of God. Those who are persecuted for righteousness are blessed, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You are blessed when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice because your reward is great in heaven, for that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time here, and we're not going to camp down on this because we did study this in great detail.
Actually, in the practical teaching for daily living, in the study of Jesus, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 was covered pretty thoroughly, I think, in that study. And so if you need to be refreshed on that, then look at the practical teaching for daily living. Just understand that the Beatitudes are just that. It's the attitude you should be.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between your attitude and what you do. You can do the wrong, right thing with the wrong attitude. And he's telling us how he wants us to be. In other words, this is our influence. Your attitude, your influence. You understand? Not so much your works, but your character. That's going to be your influence.
So let's keep reading here. And
you're going to the salt, right?
I was planning on it. No, sir.
You already run over the salt?
No, not yet. I'm getting ready to.
Okay, you go ahead.
Okay. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled on by men. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Isn't that interesting? It's timely, isn't it? It's timely, Sandy, that we just read this, given the word that was spoken on Tuesday to carry forth the light within us. "Don't assume that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy but to fulfill. For I assure you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all things are accomplished."
All right, let's make some comment here along the way. Let me go back to the salt.
Okay.
What would you use to salt? What do you use to flavor salt? So he says, we're the salt of the earth. He's talking about the body of Christ. So the body of Christ then is what gives the earth flavor. Okay? And so if the body of Christ loses its flavor, then how do you get it back? Now, this is what's happened over the years. The church lost its flavor, lost its influence. And when they do that, I mean, you see the outcome of it. I mean, this is a horrible thing, you understand. And we're the light. So what happens if the light stops shining? And darkness prevails. And that's where we are today. When the Lord is strongly encouraging us to get our flavor back, it's going to come through Him. And to get our light shining again, which is going to come through Him. Think of this as, let's instead of thinking batteries as a flashlight uses batteries, think of it like in this room, in order for this light to come on, it has to be hooked to a power source. And as the light of the world, we have to be connected to the power source. And when you start withdrawing from the power source, your light becomes dimmer and dimmer. Okay? Sort of like a dimmer switch. You get more, the way a dimmer switch works is off resistance. More resistance to the power flowing. More resistance to the power flow. And this is what the world is doing. We get caught up in the things of the world, and it's resisting the flow of the power of God in our life. So the light gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. Well, how do we resolve that problem? Get rid of the resistance. Get your mind back on God. Hook up fully to the power source through the Word and through prayer, through the Spirit of God. And this is a critical time for us. It's a critical time for the church. And if we don't wake up, then the what goes on, for instance, in this nation is going to be the fault of the church. We can blame it on all the politicians in the world. We stop shining. You get the light bright enough, you can expose corruption. Mm-hmm. You can expose lies. You can expose deception. But the church wants to back down. The church wants to be politically correct. No, I'm telling you, this is the time to shine like a beacon and don't back down from nobody, mm-hmm. no thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a time to be recognized for the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand? He said, allow your light to shine. Why? So others can see. So others can see. What happens when others see? It glorifies God. You understand? And we've got to get this turned up, okay? Now, from there, you have something you want to say there?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I think about, and I'm going to echo some of the things that Pete has just said, but have you ever been around somebody who prefers not to have lights on or to have them dimmed? Or you've seen people who have a light on in their house and they cover it. Literally cover it. Well, I want you to think about, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Well, that light still is if you're thinking of a candle, it still is brilliant. It still shines. But you put the basket over it and it covers it, right? So it can't be seen. Well, what I'm thinking about here is I'm thinking about, and I'm reminded of the influence that others can have on you if you allow them to. You have the light shining in you. But are you going to be influenced by others to dampen that light? Or to turn it down, the dimmer switch. You know what I'm talking about. Don't talk about Jesus here. That makes us a little uncomfortable. You don't need to be saying all that right now. Are you finished reading your Bible? Let's put that up. Let's put that away. You know what that is? That's dimming the light. So, there's a message here for us personally, too. Yes, the church as a whole. But personally, shine your light. Be more persuaded in Jesus than you are the convictions of others.
Let me give you another thought to go with that, and this is just fact. And all you got to do is just do some studying and research, and you'll find that it's true. You know, when we first started educating people, it was done through a lot of cases. It was done in a church building, in which the Bible was a textbook. And so you learn how to read by reading the Bible. You learn things through the Scriptures. And then they decided to, you know, you'd get more formal in your education and you'd get better teachers. And back then, you know, colleges were totally different than they are today. And so they started doing this and doing this and doing that until they started forming the system. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but there was not a Department of Education formally until Jimmy Carter signed it in. Jimmy Carter's still alive today. You understand? Well, how did that happen? How is it that the world came in and started taking over the education because the church backed off, because the believers backed off? And then, you know, years ago, what you start seeing is these church schools. Church started coming up with schools and all this. Now, we'll say to keep the kids out of the secular education. So what are you doing? You're drawing light. You're drawing them out. You take the light out, and so the darkness is going to get greater. But the truth is, the reason many of the churches did this was money. They open the school to generate revenue. And then they get the prestige and all this. So what happens, you pull the Christians out. You pull the Christians out. And then what do you have? You have a dark world out there. There's no illumination. They don't know the truth. And then if that wasn't enough, they go into the colleges now with these modern professors, if you will. And you get God out of the school, and then you go in, and you get in your college, and you tell them, you know, that there's not a God. Or you give them a theory, like Darwin. And any theory is something that's absent of fact. It's all in your head. Because once you have the fact, the theory ceases. You understand? So a theory means I don't have all the facts and this is my opinion. Mm-hmm. And so philosophy became a big thing and is a major thing today. Through philosophy, through psychiatry, through psychology, whatever. And so now everything is done from a natural perspective, so you get the supernatural out. And when you take the supernatural out, you're in darkness. You're in darkness. And this is where we are today. And this is why there's such a move of God, I believe, among an element of people today, a remnant, that is strongly exhorting people, get back to God, spend time with God. You expose yourself to the light so you can shine. You know, many years ago, I was standing out in the backyard by myself, and it was a full moon. And I was just standing there looking at the moon and talking to the Lord. No, I wasn't worshiping the moon, and I wasn't moonstruck. The thing that so intrigued me was how brilliant that moon was, and yet you had dark spots in the moon. Every time you see that moon, you'll see dark spots in it, if it's really illuminated, right? And I was talking to the Lord about that, and the Lord opened up Genesis chapter 1 to me, where He made the great lights, two great lights. You understand, light came into existence on day one. The sun and the moon were not created, I think it was the fourth day. You can check me out on that one, okay? But a lot of people think the sun is the light. No, the sun was to rule the day. The moon was to rule the night. And so the Lord just started opening things up to me. He said that people wanted Him to rule over the darkness. He said, I rule over the church. That's why I call you children of light. I rule over the light. Just like the moon is getting into the presence of the sun so it can reflect light, then you're the church, the body of Christ, is like the moon, and you reflect light. Now, you can do it with a full moon, or you can do it with a crescent moon, whatever, you understand. How brilliant our light is dependent upon how exposed we are to the S-O-N, Jesus. You understand? How much time we spend with Him. I said, well, what about the dark spots? He said, that just shows the imperfections that I use natural man. I'm not looking for perfection. I'm perfect. All I want you to do is follow me, and I'll use you even though you're not perfect. You understand? The moon's not as bright as the sun. You can stare at the moon. I wouldn't advise you to try that with the sun. You follow me? But isn't it amazing on a full moon how much light that it can get? You can actually drive with your lights out at night. I don't recommend that either. There is a law against it, okay? But to show you that there is an illumination that's going on. And so we have a major role to play in the earth. It's not que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Jesus is sitting and waiting until his enemies are made his footstool. Who's going to make his enemies his footstool? Where are the feet? The feet's on the body. And so the church has to get the enemy underfoot, and you're not going to do it withdrawing from darkness. Isn't it interesting to you that when you read in the Revelation, you look at the New Jerusalem, there's no night. Never. James talks about God. He said, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God can't cast a shadow. He's so brilliant. So much light. You understand? And God is wanting us to get into His presence to where we're putting so much light in the earth that darkness can't rule. And so it's time for the church to stand up and take its position as God has ordained, get in the presence of the sun and reflect the illumination that He's given to you. You illuminate the world. Don't be afraid to tell the world the truth. This politically correct garbage is garbage. Well, I don't want to offend. Listen, if you're offended at truth, you have a problem, and your problem's not me. Your problem is you. Anyone's offended at the Word of God, they're the one with the problem, not God. You understand? And so the body of Christ has got to rise up in boldness. This is what Jesus did in His earthly ministry. He was not a coward. You understand? He did not sugarcoat anything. And when all this religious bunch of people around Him, I mean, He didn't back down. He even called them snakes, vipers, and hypocrites. Because He was exposing the darkness that's coming out of what's supposed to be the light. And I'm telling you that the reason the world's in the shape it's in is because of the darkness of the churches. The churches are so dark. There's no illumination coming out. You walk in and you can predict what's going to happen. There's no spirit there.
Mm-hmm.
There may be emotion. There may be a stirring. There may be fast music. There may be this. There may be that. But where's God in the place? And when the Holy Spirit is not there in the place, it's darkness. It's a false light. You understand? God wants the true light shining, and that'll have to come through the body of Christ here on earth. Let your light shine. Allow it to shine. He didn't say shine it. Just let it shine. Let me tell you something. You get in the presence of God, then the illumination that God gives you is going to illuminate other people. You just walk and you glow. You understand what I mean by that, right? Okay. Now, you all right with all that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The next thing where she was reading is Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill them. And then he went on to say that heaven and earth will not pass away until every, if I can say it this way with English language, until every I is dotted mm-hmm. and every T is crossed.
Mm-hmm.
The I has been dotted and the T has been crossed. Jesus has already fulfilled the law. He accomplished what he came to do. And a lot of people are missing this. They say, well, heaven and earth won't pass away until the law's fulfilled. It's already fulfilled. It's fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not waiting for it to happen. It's happened. You follow me? And so let's make sure we get our doctrines sound and quit putting things off in the future. And walk in the presence. The power's here now. The illumination's here now. God's wanting to manifest himself now. You with me? He wants to rule on earth, believe it or not. And the church for years is wanting to give the earth up. Get me out of here. Get me out of here. Get me out of here. And he says, Jesus says, pray that God's kingdom comes on earth and his will done on earth as it is in heaven. But it has to get established in you, in me. In other words, God has to rule in me first. How's God going to get his kingdom established on earth? By ruling in the hearts of people. And when God rules in your heart, then God can rule through you. And God's kingdom can be established on earth. God's waiting for that to happen. We say we're waiting on God. No, we've got that wrong. God's waiting for us. You make the move. You make the move. I had a real revelation of this in another country. And I'll just leave it at that. There was a situation there. I was teaching in a Bible school, and there was a student in the school that I was just really drawn to by the Spirit. That there was a problem there. That student needed God to minister to them. And so during a break, I just walked out away from everybody, and I just started talking to the Lord about that student. I said, Lord, that person really needs you to minister to them. And immediately, this is what I heard, I will if you will. Well, I'd never heard that before. And I thought, okay, but I don't know what to do. You know what they need, I don't. But my still-trapped mind got this. You make the first move. We say we're people of faith. Let's see if we're people of faith. And so we go back in the class, and I mean, it's do or die. I mean, let's find out if it's God or it's not God, right? And so I just asked the person for permission to minister to them, not knowing what I'm going to do. But when I did, all of a sudden I know what to do. You see, we're waiting for God to tell us what to do, and God said, I want you to go over there. Well, what am I going to do when I get there? Just go over there. You look at the 12th chapter of Genesis, God told Abraham, get out of your country, leave your kindred. Okay, where am I going? I'll show you. You understand he had to make the first move? And he went from one place to one place to another place to another place. And God said, everywhere your foot touches the ground, I'm going to give it to you. Your seed, that's going to be their inheritance. And so he's walking by faith. The just live by what? By faith. We walk by what? Not by sight. We walk by faith. not by sight. You follow me? And so we're going to have to step out and do things God's way with the understanding that it's not law anymore. It's believing. Now it's believing. And you have to hear, so that means you have to give attention to the Lord. It goes back to getting in the light. Get in the light. Get to where you can hear. Get deliberate. You want to hear the Lord? Be deliberate. I'm not talking about hearing voices. I'm talking about, Lord, I just want to bask in your presence. Just want to sit here and just start thinking about the vastness of God, the greatness of God, and all the things that God's done. You look around you at what He's created. And I'm going to tell you, you won't do that long until you start, things will start coming to you by the Spirit. But a lot of people want to get out and bombard heaven, speak to me, speak to me, speak to me. Open your eyes. I am talking to you. I'm talking to you through the things you see, through the things you hear. But you're not listening. You're not paying attention. You see all this darkness around you? I'm telling you to let your light shine. That's God talking. But we don't want that, because that puts responsibility on us. But that's where the responsibility is today. It's on us, not on Him. And our time's up, so we're going to have to stop there, okay? Okay. I'll let you figure out where to pick back at.
Very good. Got it.